What made you choose to go into the military?
From the time I was four, I guess I'd wanted to be a mountain climber before that. And then just when I was four, I decided I wanted to be a soldier. And that was it. That was all I ever wanted to be.
So how did you explain to your parents that you had enlisted?
I lied to them. I went to the recruiting station. I was a volunteer firefighter at the time. And I said, oh, I need my birth certificate, my GED, all this stuff for, you know, records update with the fire department. And then I went down to the recruiter station. And I was like, I want to join the infantry. They said, we don't have infantry in the reserve. So I said, well, what's the closest thing you got? And they go, military police. And they showed me videos of guys rolling around strikers, blowing stuff up. And I was like, that's what I want to do.
So, Marshawn, you've been in the military for 13 years. Can you tell me a little bit about your first deployment?
So my first deployment was to Afghanistan in 2003 with the 344th Military Police Company. So we were stationed at Camp Sabalu Harrison, which was not far from Bagram Airfield. Our job was to train, advise, and assist the Afghan National Army in running the Afghan National Detention Facility in Parwan, which was a complete and utter exercise in futility. So I was responsible. I was a sergeant in the guard for a modular detainee housing unit, and I was responsible for 17 Afghan soldiers and ballpark about 180 detainees in six communal cells of about 33 apiece. Some of whom were suicide bombers. We had one dude I had a conversation with who said, you know, I was like, so what are you doing here? He goes, ah, I walk up to checkpoint, click, and nothing happened. He had gone in with a suicide vest and it just didn't work. And that's how he ended up captured. And then some of them I talked to were old guys who had been fighting. Like one of them said, I'd asked him, you know, well, you know, what brought you, why are you here? Why were you fighting? And he goes, well, you know, it's, I joined the Mujahideen to fight the Soviets when I was 14 and just never stopped. It's just, that was the whole way of life. So to say war is a way of life over there is literally no exaggeration. Our job was to train these people into one cohesive national army. They couldn't even identify as one national group, and we're trying to create an army out of this. So that was kind of this monumentally impossible task we were given.
I remember, Marshawn, while you were out there, we Skyped one time, one of the few times, because internet out there was almost non-existent.
Yeah, Sniper Hill sucks for generations that might be listening to this, you know.
So yeah, we were, I remember one time we were Skyping, and all of a sudden I heard a big boom, and then you had to leave.
Oh, yeah, we got hit all the time because, again, you know, the problem is the war was fought by politicians. You know, we lost in Afghanistan not because of the fighting spirit of American soldiers. As Patton said, Americans love to fight. They love the sting of battle. Americans love a winner and will not tolerate a loser. And that ethos is still true in the American military. It is not true of our politicians and our soldiers, in a lot of ways, I believe, were stabbed in the back by our politicians because we fought and bled to control those mountains. And then because President Obama at the time had decided that we were going to hand security over to the Afghan army, mm-hmm. our patrols left. And the Afghan army was utterly incapable. As I said, they were killing each other as much as they were killing the enemy. In fact, actually, what ended up happening was we gave security back to the Afghan National Army and the Taliban took the mountains. What we did basically when we went into Afghanistan was we took a bunch of warlords, people like Hamid Karzai was a warlord, people like the Northern Alliance, and we threw money at them and we said, make an army. And that's basically what you saw. They were not being paid as professional soldiers. They were not being trained as professional soldiers. They had a zero level of competence, and most of the officers couldn't read and write. And I think as of this recording, the last thing I read was the Taliban controlled by 80% of the country.
We have a little boy. His name is Hamza William Angel, and he is 4 years old. What are your hopes and dreams for him? I mean, he's obviously obsessed with everything military.
Well, you know, I hope that I can enable him. I want to give him all the opportunities I was never given because I was homeschooled, which, yeah, that was miserable. But I was really stifled in a lot of ways from pursuing a military career. That's why I ended up enlisted. If Hamza wants to go into the military, if this is something he wants to do, I want to make sure that he can go to a good academy, that he can get the proper training. Because I'm Jewish, he will have the option of either going into the U.S. Army or into the IDF, which I'm always a little... With the way things are going nowadays, I'm always a little partial to him going into the IDF because one thing I will say is, you know, the Israelis never abandon their troops. The Israeli government always backs their military. So, you know, but at the end of the day, as long as he can have the opportunities I didn't, I will be happy for him.